thank you. We're joined, as usual, by University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hi there, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Scott McKay is away this week. Filling in for him is the politics economics reporter for WPRI.com, Ted Nesi. Thank you for joining us, Ted.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the general treasurer of Rhode Island, Seth Magaziner. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good to see you guys.
Let's start with the ongoing debate about the proposal to build a new stadium for the Paw Sox in Pawtucket. Treasurer Magaziner, you came out in support of the Paw Sox deal in October. You call the proposal affordable and an appropriate investment. Opponents say taxpayers should not have to subsidize the wealthy businessmen who own the Paw Sox. So why are the opponents wrong?
Well, initially, I was skeptical of the plan, too, but I came to support it for three reasons. First, it's important that we invest in building a strong quality of life in Rhode Island. So this is why we invest in public parks and bike paths and beaches, amenities that make this a great place to live and raise a family. And minor league baseball is affordable. It's good entertainment for families who maybe don't have a lot of money to spend. That's one reason. Number two, it could be a good economic development catalyst for downtown Pawtucket, you know, one of our great cities, but a city that could use a real economic shot in the arm. And third, it is affordable for Rhode Island. As has been said many times, this is one of the most taxpayer-friendly minor league ballpark deals anywhere in the country in the last 20 years. So I feel good about it, and I hope it moves forward.
You know, if I had to guess right now, Ian, I'm becoming more open to the idea they could end up in Worcester, the Paw Sox, because it does seem like that's a serious discussion happening up there. You know, Charlie Baker, and that's an important part of the state for Governor Baker in Massachusetts, has expressed some support that we don't have any hard numbers. And at the moment, it's still really hard to see how this proposal gets through the House of Representatives with Speaker Mattiello so skeptical. And, you know, it's easy to focus on Speaker Mattiello, but it's not like there seems to be a lot of pressure on him from his rank and file either.
Yeah, I share that viewpoint, Ted. I think the big question mark is whether this gets through the House. What do you say, Maureen?
First of all, I'd like to say I don't know of any ballpark investors that are poor. So the idea that, you know, only, you know, rich people invest in these things, I think that's what they do. I think this is all about politics. And I think if Mattiello carries the day and this goes down, I think there's going to be a big backlash among all voters. The GOP would love this to happen because then they will talk about a lack of leadership, that this was a good idea and they didn't have the wherewithal, the political leadership to get it through. So I'll be curious to see what happens to Mattiello. Speakers of the House are supposed to be give their members cover. What's happening now is the members of the House are giving the Speaker cover because of his district. He's from a weak district. And I think it's really important to understand that if this goes down, that's a big piece of why it happens.
I do think, too, Ian, just briefly, that the backlash question is one I've been thinking about more and more. I'm just genuinely curious to see if the Paw Sox were to announce they were leaving for Worcester or somewhere else. You know, there has been such hostility to this proposal. Would people shrug and say, oh, well, we've talked that through and we didn't want it? Or would there be a lot of people upset?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let's switch gears and talk about growing momentum to overhaul Rhode Island's crumbling school buildings. Treasurer Magaziner, you co-chaired a panel that looked at this issue and backed a proposal to come up with an eventual $2.2 billion in money to repair schools. This would start with initially $500 million in general obligation bonds. You say the state has plenty of room to borrow, but some people are skeptical and they look at how Rhode Island has persistent budget deficits. So what do you say about that?
Well, first, all children in Rhode Island deserve to go to schools that are warm and safe and dry and that have the facilities necessary to train those kids to enter a 21st century workforce. Unfortunately, that's not the reality in Rhode Island today. We have school buildings that are unsafe, that are literally falling apart, and that don't have the type of layout and the type of technology that you need to train kids for high-tech jobs. So this isn't a, you know, well, maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. We have to. We have to find a way to fix these schools. We propose doing that through a mix of different funding sources, both state and municipal. When it comes to the state bonding, Rhode Island is scheduled to pay off $1.4 billion of old debt over the next 10 years. That's $1.4 billion of old bonds coming off of our books, which means we have plenty of capacity to do the proposed $500 million to fix our schools and still bring our overall level of indebtedness down over time and still bond for some other priorities like open space and affordable housing and so on. With $1.4 billion of old debt coming off of our books, We do have the capacity to make a once-in-a-generation investment in the quality of our schools, and we should do it.
Do you expect the governor to put the $500 million in her budget?
Well, we'll see what the governor puts in her budget, but I'll say she, in all of our conversations, has been very open with the fact that she understands that we need to do something big to fix our schools, that we can't let this problem continue to get worse every year, because the longer we wait, the more these buildings are going to deteriorate and the more expensive it'll be to fix in the long run.
Maureen, supporters point to this as what they describe as a win-win, since it would improve schools and put construction workers to work. And as we know, Rhode Islanders typically do support bond issues on the November ballot. How do you see the outlook?
I see the outlook as people coming to understand that the schools are important, and the fact that it's a mix with the municipalities, that the municipalities have to step up. And I do want to say, I think it's wise for you to come out now and support this, because we have this, although they support bond issues, this recent backlash about borrowing has become something of a mania. And I think we have to really, from the start, educate people that this is essential and that we can afford it. I find it kind of interesting, given that so many people that oppose this kind of borrowing don't look at the fact that at the national level, we've just, you know, gone in the tank for over $1 trillion. And yet they're so, you know, frightened of responsible borrowing to do what we need to do.
I'll just reinforce that when we came up with this plan, we're very conscious of the fact that we do have a budget deficit at the state level, that times are tight. And we designed a plan that will have minimal impact on the budget deficit, because what we're doing, again, is replacing a portion of the old bonding that is coming off of the books with some new bonding for school construction to fix these schools. We were mindful of the fact that we needed to come up with some funding, some serious funding, but do it in a way that doesn't exacerbate the deficit problem.
Speaking of borrowing and public attitudes, I'd like to come back to the PawSox issue a little bit, because Treasurer Magaziner, you're one of a number of public officials who support the PawSox deal. Governor Raimondo supports it. Senate President Dominic Ruggiero supports it. But it is a political live wire, in large part because of 38 Studios and perhaps the stigma associated with the PawSox failed bid to put forward a Providence proposal in 2015. So when does Rhode Island move out from the shadow of 38 Studios, if not now?
We have to do it. Listen, 38 Studios was a terrible decision, but at this point it was a terrible decision that was made, what, 7-8 years ago? And we can't let it paralyze us from doing big and important things to help get the state's economy moving again. And I do put the PawSox proposal in that category of things that we need to help move the state forward. For me, it's a quality of life thing. We want this to be a place where people want to live, work, raise a family, and public amenities are a part of that.
It's a great point, Ian, though, because who would have thought that back in 2010, when Kurt Schilling was standing there with the EDC board, the immense damage that deal would wind up doing to public confidence and public leaders? It's extraordinary. I'm not saying I blame people for it. It's just that one deal, $75 million, you know, we're talking about $500 million on the schools, for example, but it was just so corrosive. It's getting to the point it might have been a generational level of harm to public trust.
We're starting a new year and we have to move on.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from WPRI.com. Ted Nesi.
Happy New Year.
Maureen.
Happy New Year.
And Rhode Island General Treasurer Seth Magaziner.
Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And you can find a lot more information on our website at ripr.org.